Fred and Fish are going to sing for us as well. The title for this morning's sermon is All Roads Lead Back. Back to where? Stay tuned. Last week, in our gospel lesson on Sunday morning, Jesus fed the 10,217 on the hillside above the Sea of Galilee. Poor, pathetic people, diseased and hungry, floundering in life, they were looking for something. They were looking for a word of hope in a world that mostly spoke harsh words to them. They were looking for a glimmer of light in a world that was mostly dark for them. Floundering in life, they came looking for Jesus. Now, if you remember the story from last week, you may recall that Jesus, too, was floundering at this point in his career. He had just been rejected by his hometown. He had come to Nazareth to preach, and the people who watched him grow up refused to listen to the carpenter's kid. Then, as he walked with his head between his tail toward the Sea of Galilee, he was informed that his cousin, his childhood playmate, his friend, the prophet who had baptized him, John the Baptist, had been executed by King Herod for sport. Jesus was crestfallen. He was devastated. He was grief-stricken, floundering, just trying to keep going, just trying to put one foot in front of the other, and more than anything else, he just wanted to be alone. Alone to lick his wounds, to cry his tears, alone to lift his prayers to God. But the crowds were persistent. They followed Jesus, and he had compassion on them, and he touched them, and he healed them, and he gave them what energy he had to people who seemed lost and forgotten. It was getting late now. The people were getting hungry. There was no food, it seemed, just a boy's lunch. The disciples said, "Enough is enough, Jesus. Lord, you're spent, you're exhausted, you've done enough for these people, you can give them no more, send them away, let them find food for themselves." But Jesus told the disciples to feed them. You feed them. The disciples knew that it was impossible, and that's when the miracle happened. Jesus somehow fed 5,000 men, the women ate also, the children had happy meals, add them all up, 10,217 ate, and get this, when they were done, there were leftovers. It was late now, and now we enter this morning's story, a continuation of that 14th chapter of Matthew's gospel. But it's more than a story, it's God's word for us. Immediately after feeding them, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat. He told them to cross the Sea of Galilee ahead of him. Jesus then dismissed the crowds. "Go in peace to love and serve the Lord." "Thanks be to God," they said. The congregation moved on. They got their burros and their to-go box of bread and fish, and they headed off. Jesus went off by himself. He finally got to be alone in his grief and in his exhaustion. He prayed there. He rested there. He gathered himself. What to do now? Well, if you get thrown off a horse, you have to get back on, right? Fear cannot rule the day. Disappointment cannot stop us from living. Rejection is more common than unheard of. And so it was that Jesus, in the darkness of the evening, headed down to the Sea of Galilee to find the disciples. But by this time, the boat which carried the disciples was far from the shore, and the wind had come up, and the boat was being battered by the elements. Waves were crashing over the bow. And the disciples were wet, and they were tired, and they were not quite sure that they were going to make it to the other side. And that's when it happened. In the early morning, Jesus came walking toward them, walking not on land, but on water. The disciples saw him coming, or did they? You know, people don't walk on water. Phantoms, demons, spooks may walk on water. People simply don't walk on water. So who was it coming across the water? What was going to happen next? This could not end well, could it? The disciples were terrified. One of them yelled, "It's a ghost!" And they all cried out in fear. I do believe in ghosts. I do. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them. He said, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Now, Peter thought he recognized the voice. He thought so. He said, Lord, if that is you, command me to come to you on the water. To which Jesus replied, "Come." Peter put his foot over the side of the boat, right over the edge. And he took his toe and he dipped it into the teeming sea. And then in a moment of extraordinary faith, or outright stupidity, Peter started walking on water. And he was headed straight towards Jesus. And I have to tell you, folks, what you already know. People are not supposed to walk on water. It's just not a good idea. Can you walk on water? Me either. Now, I got to tell you, God did create some creatures that walk on water. I'd like you to take a look for a second at the Jesus Christ lizard. Watch this. Look at him go, huh? That's good for that lizard, but I'm telling you not to try it. So that lizard can walk on water. You can't. I can't. Oh, there are others. Let's look at the western grebes. Watch this one. Look at that. Is that beautiful? Heading for the coffee hour. You see, some animals were built to walk on water, as you see in the picture. Isn't God's creation amazing? People, too, are amazing. People are created in the image of God. But just because Jesus could walk on water does not mean that you should try it. Now, I took out my video camera this week, and I found a very health-conscious young lady, and I asked her if she would try to walk on water. After all, if you're going to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. So let's see what happened. Oh. Yeah, it didn't work out. So in our story, Peter is walking on water, step by step on stormy seas, and then he thinks about what he's doing, and he remembers that he's not a Jesus Christ lizard, and he's not Jesus Christ. He remembers that his uncle Thaddeus had drowned while fishing in these same waters. And the water is rough, and the wind is howling, and Peter knows that he is a fish out of water, or worse yet, he is a rock, Peter, trying to walk on water. He became frightened, and he began to sink. Now, we go back to videotape if it worked, but I'll remind you that rocks just sink. It's not like the Titanic slowly sinking below the surface. No, a rock in water, it just kind of goes right down. Rocks sink. And now this rock, named Peter, is sinking. And as the waters are about to fill his lungs, as his life is about to end, Peter reaches out his hand and he cried out for help, saying, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand. That would be the rough hand of a carpenter. The hand that had broken bread and fed the masses. The hand that would touch lepers. The hand that would wash feet. The hand that would be torn apart by the piercing of nails. Jesus reaches out that hand and grabbed Peter's quivering flesh. And with the power of Almighty God, Jesus pulled Peter from death to life. From fear to relief. From the valley of the shadow of death to the embrace of the Savior. Jesus pulled Peter up and carried him to the boat. And they joined the others. And as they got in the boat, the wind ceased blowing. And those in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The title of this morning's sermon, All Roads Lead Back. Back to where? Does this story speak to you somehow? I mean, can you relate to it? Do you consider yourself someone of extraordinary faith and extraordinary courage? You know, a week ago as I thought about this text, I thought I'd be writing a sermon about walking on water, but then I thought better. So just let's check this out by show of hands. How many of you have walked on water before? Okay. And by show of hands, and you're going to keep these hands up for a while, because once you raise them, I want you to keep them up for a while. How many of you have found yourselves floundering in the dangerous waters of life? How many of you have floundered in paralyzing fear, unable to move? How many of you have floundered unsure of where to go or what to do, or unsure if you could even go on in your life? How many of you have floundered at work or at school or at parenting or in your marriage? Keep those hands up. I have mine up for all of the above. And what I want you to do is look around now. This is the human condition. We are not Jesus Christ lizards, and we are not Jesus Christ. We cannot walk on water. God does not expect us to walk on water. You hold that hand up as you remember the most trying and terrifying time of your life. And now with your hand up, I want you to cry out, Lord, save me.
Lord, save me.
No, like you're going down in the water. Lord, save me.
Lord, save me.
Put those hands down. This is the image that I want you to take with you today. Not the image of a bunch of strong, confident, self-righteous Christians walking on water towards Jesus. No, the image I want you to store in your memory bank is one of a room full of human beings with their hands up calling out, Lord, save me. And Jesus grabs your hand and pulls you from the waters of despair and hopelessness. And Jesus pulls you in and picks you up and carries you back to the boat. And back at that boat, that's where you're going to find the rest of us. You see, all roads lead back to the boat. Now, there are so many roads in life and so many detours. Flat tires, GPS malfunctions. There's a ferry down. They're repaving 525. You're going to have to wait. There are many roads, but all roads lead back here. Where can I go then from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are there also. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand hold me fast. There are many roads, but all roads lead back to God, back to the boat. The truth is, none of us can walk on water. We are fragile at best. We are afraid and insecure. We are one lab test away from funeral planning. We are so very human. We spend most of our life floundering in the waters of uncertainty and despair. And so I say to you, welcome. Welcome to the human family. And welcome to TLC, the Total Loser Club. But here comes Jesus. See him walking on the water. Put out your hand and say, Lord, save me. Carry me back to the boat. Return me to the safety of the boat. Carry me. I can't swim. Carry me to the boat. All roads lead back to God. All roads lead to the boat. And you know where we're sitting today? It's a sanctuary, which means safe place. But there's another word. That word is nave. Think navy. The nave is where we're sitting. The nave is a boat where the people of God gather each week to hear words of comfort and hope. The nave is a boat where the people of God gather each week to carry each other and to pray for one another and to laugh and cry together. You see, all roads lead back to the boat. And I want you to end with this thought. What is a boat? It's a vehicle. A boat is meant to go somewhere. Together here, we will journey through the decades of our lives. Our journey here will include life and death, and all roads lead back to the boat. We are in the boat together, following Jesus. Now, my prayer is that this boat might leave a mighty wake, a wake of goodness in Freeland and Greenbank and Coopville. My prayer is that this boat might leave a mighty wake of compassion in Bihar, India, and to the corners of the globe. My prayer is that this boat might leave a mighty wake in your life and in your family. And I pray that when you find yourself floundering, afraid, and about to drown, that you would let Jesus carry you back to the boat. And that's where you're going to find us. And we will welcome you home. Amen. Band's going to sing for you.